Good evening, everyone. Life Assembly. We are continuing in Genesis 22 here. And we're going here with the binding of Isaac, the sacrifice of Isaac here. What we're going to talk about today is God's testing of Abraham, the significance of Mount Moriah.
Yes, sir.
Give the gift versus the gift giver, obedience of actually the obedience of Isaac too, and the provision of God. So let's definitely pray before we get into scripture here. So Father God, we just lift up today, Lord. We just thank you for safe travels for everyone coming here. The streets are really weird and sloppy today, Lord. So I just pray for everyone else who's out tonight. I know my dad is out tonight. I just pray for safe travels for him. Lord, just pray ultimately that you would speak through me tonight, Lord. Yes. Lord, I don't want to necessarily be bound by my notes, Lord, but I want to be open to whatever it is you're speaking tonight, Lord. So just thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So continuing Genesis 22 here, starting Genesis 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. So hear that he's very keen to the voice of God here. Mm-hmm. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So this is after the events of Isaac's birth and Abimelech's covenant. And now we're seeing where the Lord is actually testing Abraham here. And the one thing that really struck out to me as I was even reading this first verse here is how the understanding that God is the one who tests us. We don't test God. I don't know if that seemed may seem like a very simple thing to say, but I think it's something that we need to remember as we go about our Christian life. Many things we could be asking, Lord, why are things this way? Or, you know, Lord, why are all these weird trials happening? You know, as if we're the ones who are actually the God of our own life and we're the ones who are directing our own lives. Well, that's not the truth. The truth is that God is God and he can really test us as much as he wants because he's God. He's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of our soul. What does it say in the scriptures? That all spirits are mine, says the Lord. That everything belongs to him. So he has the full right to test us and refine us, really. However way he sees pleased, he is pleased. So here, we are his workmanship. He's the one who refines us. So the Lord, he's going to test Abraham, as he does all of us, in various ways. Verse 22, the test here for Abraham is sacrificing Isaac. And this is, I don't know if you guys know, this is one of those sections of scriptures where critics are like, you know, what kind of God has your, you know, kind of thing, you know, where it's like people are like, oh, you know, how could God tell Abraham to sacrifice his son? That's so like, infanticide, you know. But again, shows a complete lack. Whenever you hear someone like say kind of like that kind of stuff, it shows the lack of an understanding of the character of God. And the lack of understanding, too, about the need for God to refine and complete that faith of Abraham. Sometimes God is going to call you to do crazy things that appear crazy, at least in the natural, but will result in things that are, again, that things that God can only really see and have planned. As we continue here, we're talk a little bit about the location here. The location of the sacrifice is a mountain range in Moriah. Now, what's the significance of that, Mount Moriah? Besides Pastor Mike, because I know Pastor Mike probably knows.
Not about enough. Go ahead.
Okay, that's supposed to be the location of the former Temple of Solomon. The remains of the Western Wall are kind of around in that area, Jerusalem kind of area. Now, it's supposed to also be is currently the site of the Islamic site, Dome of Rock in Jerusalem.
Right.
And also that area, too, is where Jesus was sacrificed on the cross. So, Jerusalem area. Now, so basically it's a holy site for all the Abrahamic religions. They all, you know, is for that Mount Moriah area. It's where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. Now, it's prophesied by Daniel that a third temple will be built there. How that'll be built with the Dome of Rock currently there, I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not going to do any kind of speculation tonight. You know, if you want to speculate, let's speculate maybe after service if you want to talk about that.
Actually, it's not in that area.
Oh, not in the area?
No, that's not the area.
No. It's a possibility, but... Yeah,
it's possibility, but...
It's further up.
Yeah.
It's they actually are. I remember reading that. There's actually not.
The newest archaeological things that I found said that it was further up. There's a guy that's saying it's further up.
Yeah, I did actually read that. Because I did read about that too. That mm-hmm. the location of the Dome of Rock may not be actually the same location of where the temple actually was. I was going to bring that up too, but I didn't want to.
Which is a possibility.
Bog too much.
Feel free to.
I don't want to bring too much into right now. So, verse 3 here. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering. And arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. So Abraham obeys in faith and actually goes to the location that God calls him to go to. Now we have the burnt offering. We talked about burnt offerings, you know, many times before. We'll discuss it for the sake of this right here, the passage. And it's an expression of commitment and devotion to God. You also see this complete destruction of whatever it is that's being sacrificed, except for the hide. So it's this idea that the Lord, he's, you know, fired, consuming everything that belongs to the being of whoever is, you know, sacrificing it. And with that, and so I definitely want to speak here too, that the Lord, he will, in the same way the burnt offering calls the person, it has this idea of the everything being consumed in the fire. The Lord will call you also to give up everything and to be consumed by him. For our God, he consumes everything. He's a consuming fire, as it says in the Hebrews, I believe. Was it Hebrews? I think I got that right. Yeah, Hebrews. He will even call you to sacrifice that which you hold dear. And in this case, it's Abraham that with Isaac. That's his beloved son, you know, who the Lord knows that he loves. That's what he's been waiting for. For like years, and now the Lord is calling him, hey, sacrifice this. Even thinking about some of the things a lot of us here have probably been, the Lord has been, you know, we've been praying to God for and asking the Lord for, you know, whatever things we're asking for, the Lord is going to call us to eventually give that back to him too. What is it we hold dear? What is it we hold dear in our hearts? Is it the gift that the Lord's giving, or is it actually the gift giver? And that's the one thing I think that the Lord has to constantly test us on is, okay, do we like just the gifts that God gives? In this case, Isaac, you know, he gave him a heir, a son, or is it actually the gift giver himself, the Lord himself, that we actually are seeking and obeying and following after to the point to where we're willing to give up that which he gives back to him. I can maybe we can relate this back to the Gospels, where the crowds, you know, they loved Jesus when he gave them food and healed things and gave them things, you know, all these various things. But when the Lord actually called them to obey and have a self-sacrifice and to give their all, what happened to the crowds? The crowds, they dispersed. And then the Lord told his disciples, will you leave too? And then they're like, no, we won't leave. You have the words of life, you know. So the Lord will call us to give everything, even that which we hold dear, all our entire being to him. He'll test us. Like I said, he'll test us to see, okay, are you liking me just for what I give or something else, you know. And he sees perfectly. It's not something you can kind of, you know, get away with. You can kind of, fool over, but the Lord, you can't fool over God. He'll see whether or not you love him for truly loving him and obeying him. Verse 5, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Going to make, so here verse 5, he's going to make the sacrifice, but Abraham says to him and his son, that they're, to the young, the men who are with them, that they're going to go go worship. So it's like almost like an ominous kind of thing. But Abraham's not lying here, though. He's not lying. What he's saying is true. You're already seeing that connection there between sacrifice and worship. You're already seeing it there. And in Hebrews 13:15, when it talks about the sacrifice of praise, there's an aspect of when you, that, you know, sacrificing on the Lord and worship to where it's connected.
Yep.
So, yeah, totally. Verse 6 here, continuing on. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. Excuse me. And the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Here am I, son.
Here I am.
Here I am, my son." There we go. Thank you. And then he said, "Look, the fire in the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" So here, the one thing I don't think we really think about here too, we think about the obedience of Abraham, but also there's the obedience of Isaac too, that's in the mix there. Isaac, he's not ignorant of what's going on here. I mean, he's been with Abraham, he knows that, you know, there's supposed to be some kind of animal here for sacrificing. So he's not ignorant of what's going on. Isaac is actually showing also trust in his father Abraham, in his trust for the Lord too. So he's showing, there's a trusting there, a mutual trusting's going on. Even his faith as well. Verse 8 here, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. So Isaac asked about the offering. Abraham answers, "God will himself provide the lamb for the offering." So most of you guys here should know about how that is foreshadowing and previewing the eventual Lamb of God, the ultimate Lamb of God, sacrifice of Jesus
Absolutely.
Christ,
typology.
Thousands of years later. So this whole thing even is a picture and a preview of what's going to be happening generations later. In the obedience of Isaac, you also see the obedience of Jesus. "Not my will, but your will be done." You're seeing a preview of that. So Jesus Christ himself, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, with Isaac being this picture of what's going to be happening. So the Lord himself, he's going to provide, he himself is going to be this, he's going to provide himself for the sacrifice. So this is not something that Abraham's going to have to be concerned about. He's going to provide the sacrifice. Abraham is trusting that the Lord is going to make provision. And are we going to trust also that the Lord is going to make provision as well? Are we trusting in the sacrifice and the provision of God of what he's done for us? Verse 9, I'm going to continue here too. Then they came to the place by which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son. So again, so he's being bound here, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So Abraham here is prepared to follow through with what the Lord commanded. He's completely going through with what's going on here. Again, showing this faith, complete faith in what the Lord is doing here. Now this, now here, you might seem a bit of like a, like, "Well, wait a sec, Lord, you know, you said you were going to make Isaac my heir, and how can Isaac be my heir if he's dead?" You know, so there's, you know, and that's where, again, that trusting that he's, Abraham's actually hearing the voice of God, that he knows that, "I don't know how it's going to happen, but he's going to somehow do it." Now, Hebrews here, Hebrews 11:19.
There you go.
It says, Abraham concluded that God was able to raise Isaac up, even from the dead.
Yep, that's it.
From which he also received him in a figurative sense. Yeah. Again, another foreshadow of even of Jesus, what's actually going to eventually happen with Jesus down the road.
Yeah.
So Abraham reasoned in his mind that, well, in my mind, you know, if I kill him, I know God has the power to raise him from the dead.
Absolutely.
So, so that's, again, showing a complete faith that oftentimes we don't know how the Lord will accomplish certain promises in our life. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that the Lord will promise, and he'll show us, and he will show these things that will come to pass. And they might even, in our minds, contradict. I won't say contradict. In our minds, they contradict. Other words maybe that the Lord gave, and I'm not talking flippant words that people, you know, because some people give like flippant words, you know, and they were like, oh, you know, the Lord's going to do this, you know. I'm talking about legit words from people who, you know, and even you hearing the voice of God yourself, you know. Some of them may seem like contradict, you know, like in your mind, like, how can this happen if this is happening, you know, or if this, but the Lord is calling us to trust us regardless, you know. And even though, here, Abraham, I'm giving you the heir, you know, he's going to be the promised child. He's going to eventually bring about the Messiah later on. But I'm also calling you to sacrifice him on the altar of sacrifice. The Lord called Abraham to have faith and trust that, just trust me, this is going to actually work for particular good. I remember there was a couple of dreams I had, even thinking about this verse, to where when I had the dream, and they were particularly like God dreams that you knew that they were kind of, you know, and when I had them, they didn't make any sense. But then as I walked out my Christian walk and I saw like certain things happen, then it was like, oh, now it makes sense. Even though when I had it, it didn't make any sense. So we're going to see the Lord actually fulfill his promise right here and see these things come to pass. Now, continuing in verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So at this point, Abraham's so set on completing what the Lord is actually going to call them, command him to do, that the angel of the Lord is like, hey, you know, Abraham, Abraham, you know, hey, trying to get his attention. And Abraham said, so he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. So verse 11 to 12 there, the angel of the Lord, I always like pointing these out because, again, most of you know the pre-incarnate Jesus. Most likely, you have not withheld your only son from me. You know, that angel refers to messenger. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, again, that an angel normally would. That's something only really God can say. I always like kind of pointing those out because I always like, you know, talking about like Jesus, you know, in the mix there.
Yeah, always the pre-incarnate. Yeah. Angel of the Lord, always.
Pre-incarnate. Always. Yep. A normal angel cannot make promises and declarations like that. So I just like kind of pointing that out. Verse 12, I do want to bring this up too. I know that you fear God. So Abraham was tested by God. He didn't actually kill Isaac, but the Lord saw his heart. And he saw that his intent was to do completely what the Lord commanded him to do, even if it feels to sacrifice Isaac. So he knows now that he actually will obey to the point of giving up what he holds dear. Faith is proved by your works. So the work of Abraham, what he did almost sacrificing Isaac here, it actually proved his faith and tested his faith. And Abraham passed the test. So here we're going to see, you know, it says in James, faith without works is what is dead. So there needs to be some kind of proof to a person's faith. Also, again, we already talked about how the angel had to repeatedly cry out. That shows the complete obedience of Abraham. And you may be asking also too. I just want to bring up too even the sensitivity of Abraham to God's voice. How sensitive he was to where he was able to clearly hear. Abraham, Abraham, enough to where he was almost in the mid-action of killing Isaac. And one thing, too, for everyone here tonight, you might be asking, you know, what is it the Lord is calling you to do in particular? Like, let's say, you know, what is, that, again, going back to Abraham's sensitivity to God's voice, you know, what is it that God's calling you to do? And it's even really a call for everyone here to be sensitive to the voice of God, to where when he's calling you to do something, you're so sensitive to where he can know to do something else when he's calling you to do something else too. And that makes sense at all. There's one time where a person asked, like, well, how do I know what the Lord wants me to do? Well, you follow through what he first asked you to do. You keep on following that order.
Yep.
And then until the Lord calls you to do something else, you complete that order. Kind of like in the military.
Right. Follow the last order.
Yeah, follow the last order. Yep. Until the Lord calls you to do something else. So, verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Just as the Lord promised there in verse 13, the Lord made a provision. You see, there's a ram in the thicket. So note that it's a ram and not a lamb. So it's a difference there. It's a very clear distinction, because the eventual ultimate lamb is going to be Jesus. That's the ultimate lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the world. So there's a ram here. It says, as you know, the rams, the animals covered the sin, but he didn't actually cleanse the person of sin. Miraculous too. It's a miraculous thing that we're seeing, because they're right there, and then this ram is there. The two things I want to note here as well: notice the speed of the provision,
yep,
and also how it's miraculous, and how not only miraculous, but how under the nose that provision is. It's like right there, you know. Many times the provision and the miracles of God, they're like right in front of us, and they're actually very speedy too. But the key is the obedience on our part, and also you need the obedience to be actually be placed in a position to see, and also are we looking up to see the provision of God? And like, you know, are we actually looking to see what the Lord is doing, and also being in a place of obedience. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily a physical place, but a place of spiritual obedience in our hearts. In that place, the Lord will make provision, and it'll be right under the nose. You'll see like supernatural,
that's
like
right,
things that'll occur.
That's right.
Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." So it's Jehovah Jireh. Yeah. You'll get the Jehovah Jireh. And I know you guys heard that in worship songs, and I know you know what that means. The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So a marker in history here, in the mount of the Lord, Moriah. There we go, I said it right. A marker in history, a marker in place, lest we forget about the provision of God. Definitely that need for us to make memorials when the Lord makes provisions, even like miraculous things in our life, so we are aware and we can look back and see that the Lord did this work. I can trust him. I think you even talked about that, didn't you, Pastor Mike, a little bit this Sunday, about, you know, making memorials in our hearts. So that we can look into the future and be like, well, the Lord provided
right,
in the past,
right.
Therefore I can trust him with my future. And it's not about living in the past. But it's not about erasing the past either. I know there was one person who I knew who was like, just erase the past completely. And it's like, and that person, they didn't have any foundation, you know, because when you erase completely, there's no foundation at all. So it's not a matter of erasing the past. And not living. It's more of like, okay, I can see the past, the things the Lord did. I'm not living back there, but I'm using that as a help, you know, as a memorial for the future, so I can remember that what the things that the Lord has done. So going into verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time. So again, so Abraham's very, again, sensitive to the voice of God here. And said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and going over the covenant here and the blessing that the Lord has. And the multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations shall be blessed. So we're blessed because of the things that have happened in the past. Because we're the nations of the earth. Shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Verse 16, by myself I swore. So we got a call back to blood covenant. Remember the blood covenant that took place where God split the animals in two. If we won't go back, you can, look that up and stuff.
Sure.
The blood covenant. Verse 17 here, the promise, the multiplies descendants, and the seed, and then his seed will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Again, going with Jesus, remember he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and he was glad. I wonder how much Abraham actually knew. That's, about what was going to be occurring, with Jesus. So you got the angel of the Lord speaking, pre-incarnate Jesus here, things only God can say. Verse 18, notice the dependence too, though, on the part of Abraham with obedience. So there is an aspect there of obedience. So the Lord made the provision in everything for him to walk out in faith, but Abraham had to walk that out. He had to walk this whole thing out in order for the Lord to fulfill what was going to be occurring. So there's a part of obedience and a part of Abraham to the voice of God. And it's, again, no different for us, that we need to be obedient to the voice of God. The seed of all the nations, Jesus coming through and blessing that. So verse 19, so Abraham returned to his young men and then rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelled in Beersheba. So the scene ends here. Just a little significance with Beersheba, where Abraham made the covenant with Abimelech in Genesis 21. Isaac and Jacob, they lived there too. So just a little background of what was going to be happening eventually later on in Genesis, as we'll see in the later chapters. This is also the southern extremity of the Israelite country. So you got, I think Dan is the top. And then you have Beersheba is like the bottom, so it's kind of like the north and south kind of thing. Finishing off the chapter here, verse 20, now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, indeed, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor, and Hoz, his firstborn, Buz, I think that's saying that right, his brother Kemuel, the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazo, Pildash, Didlap, Bethuel, and Bethuel begot Rebekah. There we go.
Yep.
There we go. There we got it. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Ruma, also bore Teba, Gaham, Tahash, and Macha. There we go. Those names. Okay, the inserts. See, when we get to the inserts, a lot of times we kind of read past those things. But what's the one cool thing you see here? What's the one name you recognize there? Rebecca. Yeah, there's Rebecca. So already you're seeing a provision here.
Yeah.
For Abraham, for Isaac,
yeah.
For a wife. And I thought that was kind of cool. You have all this whole testing of Abraham. You have Isaac, almost you have him being sacrificed here. And then even with all that, the Lord already has this provision in the mix for Isaac to, and then to continue the line for, Isaac, Jacob, and then eventually the Messiah coming down centuries later. So, yeah, I just thought that was a real good, even a provision on top of the provision, essentially, where the Lord made a provision for Abraham to where he provided the lamb, but then even for Isaac, he's already having a provision for a wife. So even a conclusion here, when God calls us to give him everything, the Lord will call us to give us the things we hold dear, whether it's, let's say for an example, again, bringing it into like more of a modern thing, let's say like work, or like, let's say, you know, asking the Lord for work. And I don't think it's necessarily, it's not going to be always like, you know, you're going to be sacrificing your your work or anything like that. But let's say for an example, let's say you get a job, and you get a job and something happens in the job to where you have to sacrifice something in your job. Like, let's say you have to sacrifice somewhere you have to be like a witness or something. You have to sacrifice your pride or something to make you look like a fool for Christ, you know?
Sure.
You have to
sure.
do something to where you have to be a living sacrifice unto God, to where you're being a witness on there. And that's, again, being foolish for Christ there. And this is a repeated test. This is not something, I think the Lord is going to constantly call us to be sacrificing that which we hold dear. It could be a relationship. It can be, again, anything. I'll end with this one example, and I hope I'm saying this example right. I don't know if it was on a radio or some convention I went to, but this guy, he had it where this guy was having this conversation with God. And the guy is, like, standing before God, and it was, like, kind of like a little allegory kind of thing. And God is, like, you know, he's talking to the guy, and the Lord says, okay, you believe in me. I want you to sacrifice, you know, your money. And that's a very initial thing, you know, like, it was small. It's like, okay, Lord, I'll give you my money. So he's like, okay, he gives the money. And then the Lord is like, okay, have your money. Now I want all your money. And the Lord is like, and he's like, oh, you want all my money? Okay. And then he gives, you know, God the money. And then he's like, oh, the Lord's like, okay, now I want, you know, your car. And then he's like, well, I don't have any money, so I might as well just, you know, give my... So he gives the Lord his car. And then eventually he's like, the Lord's like, okay, I want your house. And he's like, he gives a house. And then the Lord's like, then eventually he's like, okay, I want your family. I want your wife. I want your kids. I want everything you have. And then the guy's like, Lord, I'm not going to have anything at all. You know, I won't have anything. But I'll trust you. And the Lord, you know, and the guy figuratively, you know, gives the Lord everything. So he's left naked, destitute by himself. And then eventually, how does it end? The Lord's like, okay, now I want you. And so the Lord, he's like, he just takes himself. And now he has, you know, the Lord has everything in this guy's life. He has everything. And then in the story, like, yeah, where the guy eventually he gets everything back, you know, because everything is in the Lord's hands, even himself at that point. So it's just a call of, like, how the Lord, he desires our everything. He desires our all. And we can trust him to give him everything. So I just want to definitely just pray for you guys tonight as we end. Father God, we just lift up tonight, Lord. We just pray, Lord. We know you're testing us, Lord. Lord, even as you give us things, Lord, ultimately you want us that to point us to you, Lord, not the gift itself, Lord. So we just pray and lift. Help us to be the way you need us to be, Lord. Have our focus and our faith in you, Lord. Lord, we pray too, Lord, that our faith will be an example to others, Lord. It wouldn't be a bad example, Lord. Help us to walk like Abraham walked, Lord.
Yeah.
And we thank you too, Lord, for the provision, Lord, the ultimate provision of the sacrifice of your Son, of Jesus on the cross. That's the ultimate lamb that you provided, Lord. So we just thank you for tonight, Lord. Let's pray for rest for everyone tonight. Yes. I know for me it's been a good day, but it has been a long day for me. So I just pray for rest for everyone here, Lord, and just peace, Lord, as we go into tomorrow. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your provisions, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.